Hello and welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. Today's discussion is ideally suited for debit and credit card issuers, both banks and credit unions, because today, VP of Payments Edge Marketing, Leslie Decatur, speaks with Mercator Advisor Group's own Director of Merchant Services, Don Apgar. They get together to talk about targeted marketing campaigns and their importance to card portfolios. Leslie opens the discussion by sharing the data behind the enormous impact targeted marketing had on card portfolios during the pandemic, the importance of segmentation, and the changing incentives landscape for cardholder engagement. Don and Leslie conclude their discussion with a very compelling data set around marketing channel and response rate. We talk about cards a lot in the Payments Journal podcast. This is a favorite discussion of mine because we rarely talk card marketing. Without further ado, let's take it to the show. So Leslie, marketing has always been an important component of maintaining a healthy card portfolio, but tell us what's different in today's environment.
You know, marketing will always be vital to strong portfolio performance. We're going to reflect on the pandemic today, but we're potentially heading into a recession. And it doesn't matter what your economic conditions are, it's incredibly important that we continue to grow the portfolio. Even with the organic debit growth that we had enjoyed during the pandemic, the aversion to cash, the increased card not present transactions, clients that were actively marketing using our Payments Edge program grew their activation rate 257% faster than those not promoting the program, and spend growth outpaced by over 300%. So those numbers really speak for themselves. For all credit card issuers, marketing is mandatory across the board, especially now that cardholders paid off $1.7 billion worth of balances during COVID. The basics of successfully promoting activity in debit and credit portfolios haven't changed significantly, and I've been doing this for 25 years. Certainly, there are new tactics, new programs, but the basics are the same. We need consistent communication, a very strong call to action, compelling incentives, and great cardholder service. The key to success is careful planning and timely execution. You need to develop and follow an annual calendar with a minimum of 6 months lead time for strategy and development. And then you need to be able to pivot when situations change quickly, as they're prone to do.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Leslie. You know, our annual North American Payments Insight research that Mercator conducts every year shows that consumers are continually evaluating their options, and especially when it comes to payment choices. And you mentioned the pandemic, and, you know, I think the pandemic caused a lot of people to reevaluate a lot of different things. And one of the things that, you know, as we said, that their payment choices, you know, are their cards, you know, meeting their needs in terms of rewards and benefits and all the things that go along with that. So marketing is critical on an ongoing basis.
Absolutely. I completely agree. You have to make sure that the product is competitive, but then you have to communicate those features and benefits. And you have to do it in a very meaningful way. And incentives, I think, are some of the best ways to talk to cardholders. Give them something back to pay attention and use your product instead of somebody else's.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Leslie, of all the facets of a successful marketing campaign, perhaps the beginning starts with segmentation. What's your approach to segmentation?
You know, you're absolutely right. Properly qualifying cardholders is critical to cost-effective campaigns with high response rates. We want to occasionally communicate in a meaningful way to people that are using the card very actively because we want to retain them. But overall, we're going to go after underperforming segments. So targeting the proper audience is key to the success of any promotion. It may seem simple, but there is a science behind defining each target group, and we are constantly testing new segments and incentive groups throughout the course of the year. The environment is constantly changing, and every campaign needs to be thoroughly vetted before inclusion in our calendar. We don't put anything out in the Payments Edge program that isn't tried and true. We do test on live portfolios, and our clients love that because we cover all the cost of the marketing, so they end up with free additional usage, and we have the learning. So that's your proverbial win-win. So new inactives, long-term inactives, low users, and mid-tier users are key debit segments with proven response and return on investment. and reaching targets within 90 days provides the best chance of shaping behavior. In fact, data tells us if you go over 120 days, it's very difficult to pull a strong return on investment. For credit programs, you need to start with a credit line increase program to make sure you have adequate headroom to build transactions and balances. You can't ask for additional spend if your cardholders don't have any room and they've already hit their limits. You want to run regular acquisition to increase the size of the card base, use rate and usage promos to increase activity, balance transfer to pull those balances to your card from your competition, and skip pay campaigns really help maximize revenue.
Yeah, it's certainly a lot of complexity that goes into a strong segmentation strategy. You know, most issuers try to do this on their own, don't they?
They do, you know, and many do a fabulous job. We have several customers that were already running successful marketing programs, but sometimes it's the reporting piece. It's boiling down that campaign to actually understand the return on investment. What was your response rate? How much did you earn from that campaign month, and how much will you make this year and many years down the road? So we've had customers turn it all over to us because they could not get to that depth, and we deliver cradle to grave, everything from the creative and the messaging to the incentive, the timing, fulfilling the offer, campaign reporting, along with retention reporting. So it's a complex business when you really look at it.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, it reminds me of the old adage that, you know, half of the money you spend on advertising is wasted, but you just don't know which half. And the segmentation analysis, I mean, you're absolutely right. If you don't have a good way of tracking ROI, then, you know, even though you may be successful, you really don't know why and where to invest additional resources and what to double down on and what to kind of back off of. So, I mean, that's an excellent point.
Thank you. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Without strong segmentation and understanding the data, you can burn through your marketing budget pretty quickly early in the year without having the impact that you need.
So, Leslie, beyond segmentation, another super important part of marketing campaigns is the incentives offered for the cards. I'm curious, did incentives change with the pandemic, and what was that challenge like?
They absolutely shifted. Everything changed, to be perfectly honest. The pandemic caused us to re-examine every aspect of our campaigns, including timing, offers, creative. And I'm so proud of the way my team pivoted. We didn't cancel any campaigns. We shifted timing. We moved away from any travel or in-restaurant dining incentives to strong online offers such as Amazon, Apple, Google Pay, Barnes & Noble, to name a few that we're still using. And then from a creative perspective, we needed safe images. We couldn't show people out shopping in groups or dining in groups. So we used models shopping online in the safety and comfort of their own home. And then we used sharp photos of packages delivered on porches because that's what was happening. Most people move to online shopping in droves, and that has a good, strong surprise and delight image as well. We also featured families enjoying our incentives. So potentially if it was an online offer, they could be gaming or watching a movie. So those were very successful. Our program has always had a tremendous focus on diversity, but we put a lot of extra effort here as well. Given the unrest in the country and the world, we wanted to make sure that every financial institution and their respective demographics were more than properly represented. So we shifted creative, we shifted offers, we shifted timing, and we actually had to change our baselines because you can use some of the pandemic months as a true test of whether a card was truly underutilized or was it just the environment. So we had to stretch our baselines out and reach back historically. So it was unprecedented. We were very successful, but it's not an exercise that we're anxious to repeat. Just from an ongoing perspective, we constantly test new incentives to ensure that we have a really broad selection to keep our cardholders engaged. I truly believe that the offer and the creative are incredibly important. You have to send it to the right audience, but you have to have something that truly stands out. And we've been able to do that year over year, campaign after campaign, with strong response rates. Finally, you know, in addition to our gift cards and our strong discount offers, we use rate promotions regularly to drive credit acquisition, balance transfers, and usage. So there's really a wide variety of offers to catch and retain cardholder attention.
Yeah, that's really an excellent point about the messaging, Leslie. There are a couple of companies that you may recall in the news that were clumsily caught being a little tone deaf, if you will, in their advertising messaging. And, you know, the pandemic affected so many people in very personal ways. And having the sensitivity both to respect what people were experiencing and also the diversity and inclusion aspect is very strong. And, you know, being able to pivot and make sure that the message is kind of in step with the times and reaches people where they are, I think is so critical. And so many companies lose track of the importance of what the brand represents to consumers.
I couldn't agree more. And my team, along with our design staff, considered how far do we go left or right of center at this point, because a lot of marketers were starting to feature models with masks. But from a debit and credit perspective, you want to be aspirational and incredibly hopeful. We wanted people to look past the pandemic and know that things were going to turn around and you weren't going to need that mask forever. So we chose not to illustrate with masks. Of course, we had everything ready if we had a client that needed, but luckily our strategy was spot on. And that is one of the most fun aspects of running these programs, is really trying to stay ahead of market and guide your clients successfully and protect their brand while you're growing their revenue.
It's so true. We just published some research recently on loyalty in the merchant space. And the research is really clear that people's expectations of the brands that they do business with have really increased. And consumers are looking for leadership from the brands that they do business with. And I think that's such an important point that you mentioned about being aspirational and about conveying the message that, hey, you know, this pandemic will pass at some point.
Agree. Unfortunately, we're almost out of it.
So, Leslie, moving through the marketing process, we've got segmenting the audience, we've got testing incentives, and in this case, shifting marketing goals and pivoting on the fly. How about channel? You know, so what are some of the best ways to get in touch with the consumers and onboard card usage? But in particular, I'm curious about the email channel, the impact of COVID, you know, on email, and was there burnout? And I'm curious sort of what channels worked best for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. We've seen a pretty significant shift in channel response post-COVID. Direct mail is now outperforming email again. Since I'm sure you're all aware, most of our junk mail is in our inbox, not our postal service mailbox. So we did see some deterioration in the email segment. We find the best approach for our small to mid-size issuers is direct mail with an email follow-up. But email is still the most cost-effective for large and regulated FIs. We're doing some testing with text and SMS follow-up, but you have to be very careful there not to really invade the privacy of the consumer. So we'll see how that impacts our program. And then we have some additional technology that we'll be applying with some really fun philanthropic and gaming aspects in 2023. So looking forward to that next step forward.
Yeah, that's really a good point. You know, it's always great to be able to meet customers where they are. But, you know, when you get a little too close to the consumer, you know, with a narrow segmentation or, as you pointed out, maybe with an SMS message and things of that sort, it's a little Orwellian, you know, and kind of gives off a creepy vibe about, you know, gosh, how do they know so much about me? How did they find me? How did they send me a text message? So it's really a fine line of how you reach people.
Exactly. And our customers are financial institutions, and the most important thing they have is trust with their cardholder. So we want to make sure that everything we do is very transparent, and that's at the forefront of all of our product development.
Yeah, that's an excellent point.
Naturally, at the end of channel comes sort of results. I assume that the top result, most important one, is response rates. Can you share, you know, what you found to be the strongest performer and why?
Absolutely. Our response rates are a very important topic. They need to be appropriate. If they're too high, then you're getting false positives and there's something wrong with your data. So there is a sweet spot. Ours range anywhere from 4% for new and active to 25% for mid-tier. And we do compare the rates pre-COVID to the COVID years. And very interesting, we did not lose much response during right at the height of the pandemic. And in some segments, we gained response. So we're really pleased that our message was resonating. The overall return on investment for the campaigns ranges from about 262% for a debit new and active to 689% for a credit incentive campaign. So we're very pleased that COVID did not noticeably impact response rates or campaign return on investment.
Wow, those are some really impressive ROIs.
Thank you. We achieved them by strong messaging, strong creative and response, and also by keeping our costs low to our customers. Many don't have the bandwidth to do this work in-house, and we want to make sure everybody has the opportunity to market and to do it profitably. And we have such strong results from a credit perspective. In 2019, we were averaging about 14.5% of dormant accounts activating. 2021 took a little hit, went down to 10%, but I still find that astonishing. A dormant credit account is generally a card that may not even be carried anymore by the cardholder, and we have such terrific success. So we look forward to overcoming whatever obstacles the economy or the environment throw at us in the future.
Yeah, that's a really key point about costs, too, because, you know, a lot of times when you look at ROIs, the focus is all about, well, you know, how much did we make? What was the response rate? Was I in the right channel with the right message to the right segment? But at the end of the day, if you're spending a lot of money to deliver the results, you're really having a negative impact on the ROI. And I think keeping the cost low and keeping that denominator low in the ROI equation is really important.
It was critically important, especially when you're still in an environment with shortages. I mean, we on a daily basis are working to make sure that we have paper and that we have envelopes, and our costs have gone up, but we try very hard not to pass that along. We want to make sure those returns stay incredibly strong so we can help our clients grow.
Gosh, nobody can hide from the supply chain issues these days, right?
Isn't that the truth?
Well, Leslie and Don, this is such an interesting conversation. We have so many discussions around cards and all the sort of associated components, but we very rarely get an opportunity to discuss the actual tactical marketing of marketing card portfolios. I mean, all the way down to the paper and envelopes level. So your insights, Leslie, were so interesting, and as for yours, Don, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks, Ryan. Thanks, Leslie.